sort of repeat in Rashi, it's a kind of repeating all the Malach Samishkan. But there's something very significant over here in the beginning of the Psukim. It says, Elo Pkudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Eile Shapuk Al Pi Moshe. So Rashi says that the word Mishkan is repeated twice. It brings the Chazal, Shnei Pomim, Remez LeMikdash and Ismashkin B'Shnei Chubanos and Shei Yisrael. The Mikdash was mismashkin twice because of Averis HaKlai Yisrael. So the Mishkan as being a Loshen of Mikdash, Bemes Chazal speak about it. Chazal, it's a halachic issue. The Gemara in Shavuos, the Chazayin is done on whether or not the dinim of Tumah apply equally to Mikdash and Mishkan. And the Gemara says Mikdash is Ikri Mishkan, Mishkan is Ikri Mikdash. That both of them are interchangeable terms. And it brings variations from the Psukim V'Shachanti B'Seichan, that's going on the Mikdash, and so on. In V'Shachanti, you have a remez that the Mikdash is called Mishkan also. It's interesting. In other words, over there it's Kemat Mefurish, that V'Shachanti V'Asul Mikdash, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Sheichin. It's a pretty clear raya. But the Lashon over there is V'Shachanti, the pool of doing V'Shachanti. Over here, the Pasik is a noun. Elo Pkudei HaMishkan. In other words, Mishkan Eidus. This is where Mishkan is called Mikdash Mamish. In other words, the word Mishkan is called Mikdash. The reason why the Gemara doesn't bring it, obviously, because it's only Rem. It's not Muchach at all from the Pasik. The Mashuas couldn't have brought it. But I learned Davahu. The place in which there is a raya that Migdash has the quality of Mishkan is over here also. Try to understand a little bit why it is that over here we find that Migdash is Ikri Mishkan. One Nakuda that's sort of similar in a sense is Migdash is supposed to be sort of a permanent structure. The Mishkan is temporary. When we say that the Mikdash was nismashkin, that the Mikdash was destroyed twice, it means that it had Mishkan-like qualities in it not being permanent. But but over here in the Pesukim, the Seder Parash is why of all the Mekoyim is this is the Makom that's Merumizet. The Gemara also says, also you have over here, Rashi says it's called Mishkan Eidus, because this is where Chet HaEgel was Niskaper. So it's also interesting that this is the place. Because in this pasuk you have both the inyan that Mikdash is Ikri Mishkan, Mishkan is Ikri Mikdash, and also the inyan of the Kaparas, the Raya, the Eidus, L'chol Bo Olam, that Klal Yisrael's, that Chet HaEgel was Niskaper. So there's a certain Nekuda in the Mikdash being called the Mishkan that sort of expresses the kapara of Klai Yisrael Chet HaEgel. There's a stira in the parashas. Ramban points it out. It says in the parasha before Vayakel that people brought a lot of plenty of stuff, plenty of nedavis. People are bringing way too much. Moshe said enough. The malacha was, they had enough to do, and a little bit left over. It wasn't as if they had a clear weight measurement how much they needed, because then they would chatchila stop at, let's say they needed 100 pounds of gold, so at the 100 pound they would stop. The mashmaz of the psukim is, it seemed they were bringing too much. They estimated it, and when he said stop enough, the people brought, and there was a bit left over. In our parasha, it says it goes through the minyan of all of the gold and the silver and everything that they brought, and what they did with it, and it comes out letter perfect. Even the adonim and the chatzi of over there, everyone had to give a machzor shekel, and it came out perfectly to the Adonim. So, and it doesn't say there's anything left over. So the Ramban says that there must have been very little left over, so that it was just enough that it was just enough to make, and the drop more was insignificant. Maybe they did it to Berakah Bayis and so on. That's how he answers it. But at any rate, you have two parashas over here. One parasha that tells us that there was a tremendous amount and without a gvul, and the other parasha that tells us that everything was exact. I mean, people just brought stuff, and it came out the letter perfect, you know, Elof Shramos Chamisha Shiv Meshek, was like, right, exactly what they needed. Bekel Gugoz Matzah Shekel. I mean, it was incredible. So and that was fixed, and they couldn't stop in the middle. They had to use exactly every ounce, and it lasted perfectly well, which is interesting. But there's the two parashas face off one against the other in terms of the hoiser and versus the exact amount. The word pekude, according to Rashi, says it's the minyan. It's the count. It's the exact quantification of what was needed for the Mishkan and everything that was there. I want to go back to the Nekuda about Mishkan and Mikdash a minute. Chazal say that I need a pasuk. The Gemara says in Shavuos, I need a pasuk to teach me by Mikdash and Mishkan, each one, that there's Tumah over there, the Dinei Tumah, because each one has a mile the other one doesn't have. Mikdash has a mile that's Olamim, so I would think it's Kedushas and Kedushas Olamim. It's always Kaddish, the place. So I would think, even if it's Chorav, it's Kaddish, and so on. So I would think that Tumah applies only over there. That we understand. That's a... And the Mishkan, the mile of the Mishkan is, there's Nimshach B'Shemen. Okay, I mean, you could learn it just a limud. In other words, we look for milas in each one, and there's this mile and this mile, and fine. That's, you know, it doesn't... In the world of limudim, any milas counts. But it's strange. I mean, in other words, the maila of Meshicha B'Shemen vis-a-vis Olamim. Olamim is a clear inyan why I would think that this is Tumah and this is not Tumah. You know, it's a maila and it's a chshivas. Here it's something that is strange, rather. I want to point out one more inyan. The Reb Tzadik points out, the Sfasemus, I think, points out somewhere, The word Mishkan and Mikdash, Be'etzem, are almost contradictory terms. Mishkan means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence amongst us. V'shachanti b'soicham, that says afilo b'tumasam, v'shachanti means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imminent among Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Mikdash means it is distinct from us. The word Mikdash, the word Kaddish, like Rashi says, by Kaddishim to you, it's a Lasha Havdola, it's a Lasha Vegeder. It means it's set aside, it's set apart. Valedavahu, Mishkan, which is on a lower Madrega Pashtus, is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu being amongst us. And Mikdash is the setting aside, that which is kind of apart from us and so on. I mean, you're referring to the same thing. You're referring to the makom of the makom avoda, and yet here it's called the place our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and here it's called the place where we're not, and so on. So let's go back and be. Nisbain in the Gemara that speaks about the difference in Mikdash and Mishkan, that this is with Olamim and this is with Shem and Mishkan and so on. Bechlal, you need to understand, well, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to us in two stages? In the stage of Olamim implies it's a permanent model, it's a good model, it lasts forever, this is what we want. The Mishkan is a kind of temporary thing. I mean, is it sort of a HaKadosh Baruch didn't want to wait till we came to Eretz Yisrael, and so he said, okay, we'll give you something temporary until you get there. It's strange. But it says that there is a progression. Is the progression just Malam B'Kodesh? It's not Mashma like that. It's Mashma, there's a Malam Mishkan that Mikdash doesn't have. Mishkan was never Chorev. That's another Indian. Mishkan is Gonus, but it's not Chorev. So it need to understand that the Milo Velomim and the Tzadim and so on. There's a Matbeas Loshen, Bar Tanya used it very frequently, taken from the Seder Tefillah. The Gemara says there are two Matbeas of Loshen for the same bracha. One is Avas Olam and one is Ava Rabba. In the daytime we say Ava Rabba, at night we say Avas Olam. There's a distinction in the Lashon, and the distinction is it shows two different types of Ava. The Balatanya explains it on a surface level. The daytime is a tremendous man of Ashpoa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The daytime is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megal himself, and so on. So that's a ribuy of Ashpoa. It's a feeling of a ribuy of Ahava, and that's why that's called Ava Rabba. All of the Nyanim, all the mitzvahs come out, except for Leila Seder is during the day, and so on. So the daytime is always a Shefa of a lot, whereas the Ava at night is it needs to withstand, it needs to endure. It's the test of endurance, and that's why it's Avas Olam, like even Amunos Chabaleilois, along those lines. The Balatanya says, the Knesh that he adds to it is, Ava Rabba is of a great surge of Ahava, but it's not Avas Olam. The Ava Rabba is not enduring, and the Avas Olam is Behelam. In other words, the two go hand in hand. The Ava Rabba is something which, because it's open and it comes in such a big kamus, is such a big hashpah, is therefore Rabba, but it's not Olam. And the Ava that comes behelim is smaller, it's behelim, it's behesta, but it lasts la'olam. That's that's what the Kudur Balatanya talks about a lot in different Ifanim. I want to explain it a little bit. I want to bring that into play. In the Ava Rabba means, when I say something is a lot, what I'm trying to say is, compared to the kalim of the kli kibul, it's sort of too much. When I say, when somebody fills up my cup to the very top, I say, oh, you gave me too much. Because the Rabba is always a measure. I mean, it can't be the measure of a lot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'lisof. So we speak about Ava Rabba, we speak about a surge that the Kli Kibul has a hard time with. It sort of strains the ability of containing that. The beginning of any relationship is Ava Rabba. In other words, when I say anything that's permanent, I have a hard time noticing. So a normal ongoing relationship with somebody, a plateau, is sort of Avas Olam. It's normal, it's regular, no big changes, and naturally, if it's enduring and ongoing, means I have the kalim for it. So a relationship that I have with a person that's an ongoing relationship is Avas Olam. Ava Rabba is a type of relationship where I met somebody and I was, wow, I'm astounded by the person. The person dazzled me. I sort of felt something towards that person. That's Ava Rabba. It's the place where Ava is felt because it rose above the Kalim. A river that's going, that's within its banks, you get used to it, you don't notice it. When a river overflows, that's when you notice it. It's more than, and the more than is where you notice the element of the Rava. So every beginning, every aschala, just like Nisuin starts, the initial meeting is always where a person feels a surge of Ava, something that hadn't been there before, and now the person feels it. And eventually it's meant to level off and to become Avas Olam. So Ava Rav and Avas Olam are the same thing in Ruchnius. A person feels a tremendous surge of Ratzon to be Shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person is inspired means he reaches a sense of Ruchnius beyond his normal Kalim. And then you have, and then in order for it to last, and the nature of things that last is, that they fill in, they either need to build up the Kli, or it subsides to fit the Kalim. That's the Mahalik way things work, that's why it has to work. So, Meshicha B'Shemen is the thing that initiates something that wasn't there. When you take a Kayan, the Aaron was Nimshach. His children don't have to be Nimshach. A Melech is Nimshach. His children are not Nimshach. The only time a child of a king is Nimshach is if there was an Irur on the Malchus. If there was people, if it wasn't clear that he would be the Hemshech, then he's Nimshach with the Shemen. Moshech being Moshech with Shemen is sort of described as bringing down a hashpah to where it wasn't before. Lamashal, there was no kahuna, and now I take the shemen and I sort of drip it down. Keshemen ayered as kanaren, it comes down from some place. There's a hashpah that comes down to Aaron, and now we have kun in the world. The loyal Levana Vachrov, him and his children are now. It's automatic. In other words, it's there already, and it is within the context of Ruchnius that it goes from door to door, so it keeps going. That's the context. That's how Ruchnius works, unless you take a coin gun. Unless not a child, and then he has to be Nimshach and so on. That's so Meshicha B'Shemen is the initial surge to create a sort of Yesh Me'ayin, or to bring a new hashpah into the world. The Gemara says that the only time a Moshech a melech was, if he was a ben melech, was when there was an error and so on, and it wasn't clear he would be, or you want to reinforce the malchus and so on. But if not, if it keeps going continuously, it's not. So you have Mishkan is the pchina of Kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that surged beyond the Kalim. It's the initial surge. It and its hallmark is that it is something which is really bigger than the Kalim can handle, and that's why it's not going to last. That's the mile of Mishkan. Mishkan is Nimshach B'Shemen, means it's Chiddush. The hallmark of the Mishkan was that it was renewed. Every time they folded up the Mishkan, they went weiter, they settled down, they opened up, and they rebuilt the Mishkan. There was a new, not halachic Chanuk Sabayis, but there was a new Chanuk Sabayis every time they landed, and at every Masa, and unfolded the Mishkan. So the Mishkan had in itself the ability to create Ruchnius where there was none before. Every single time they came to a place, they unfolded it, and it was there. That's the mile of Mishkan. And it's not the Pshat, it's a mini version or a junior version of Mikdash. It has a mile that's all its own. The Mikdash is Mile Zaylamim. The Mishkan, as soon as you folded the Mishkan and moved away from the ground wasn't Kaddish anymore. You could do whatever you wanted with that ground. The reason is, because it was always bigger than its kelim. Whereas the Mikdash was a level of Kedusha that stood. It was Lailamim, but it was kind of makom. I want to explain the difference also in the lashon between the two. That's why Mishkan focuses on what there is, and Mikdash focuses on what there's not. In Mishkan, the chiddush is even b'tzeich tumasam, b'shachanti, b'seicham, in Tumas Yisrael, because the chiddush is that type of what we should call it, that type of renewal or that type of newness is bedafka shayich to where the kelim are not holding there yet. Just like a person who meets somebody he really likes is not yet ready to get married. It's that surge of agoshes is not nesuin. It's not permanent in any sense. It's more than its surroundings. It's a certain hispilus because it's more than what the person is used to. Then that is not shayach to its makom. The Mishkan, it doesn't stand in any place. The Mishkan is temporary mitzad its mitzias. It's whenever there was this iris, which means that every time they you know uvenucha yoyma, at that point there was ischatshus of Shechina, and b'meila what sticks out is what there is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come into a place that the Chura wasn't for him. In the Mikdash, it's the other way around. In order, there's a paradox. In order for something to need to be permanent, it needs a place. Anything needs a makom to be kavua. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, af shmayim ushmei shemayim lo yichal kelucha, you know, af hamakom hazeh, the entire universe can't contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I create a makom that contains HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the answer to that is, there is a makom, but it's mufka from makom. It's bigger than its midos. It's a place that is distinct from the rest of the world. The only basis for having a place in this world that can accommodate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a place, a Mishkan had no place. A Mishkan was where they were. It wasn't an address. A person's house has an address. A camper doesn't have an address. It's wherever you stop for the night, you stop. There's no address to it. For the Mikdash to be able to have, for Shechina to have an address in this world, it has to be a piece of world that's not really part of the world. It's sort of an extraterrestrial type of place. So it's called a Mikdash, because the first thing about it is that it's mufka from this world. It's a place that's also to be there with this world, with Tumah and so on and so forth. It's a makom that retains its kedusha, and therefore, once you have a makom that's not really a makom, it's not really part of this world, it's a makom, but not a makom of this world, then it's shayach to associate a Beis HaMikdash with it. So adrabba, mitzad its malyusa, of the Mikdash, that it has permanence in it, that's why it's called a Mikdash, whereas the Mishkan, because it doesn't, it's like, somebody says, I need to live in an upscale neighborhood. Only certain neighborhoods can fit me. But if I'm a camper, that doesn't apply. I don't say, well, this is not an upscale forest. I mean, it's not, the camper is not in the forest. The camper is wherever I am. It has to do with me. It has nothing to do with the place. So the makom of Mikdash is a makom, and therefore it needs kedusha to be mafkiyat from this world to some degree, whereas the Mishkan is the surge of kedusha and keshna kodesh baruch hu, and that sort of overwhelms this world, and that's why it's not shy to this world. Doesn't retain, just like when a person is learns a person learns something that's bigger than his kishonis. he can't be koilet. He won't remember it all because it's just more than he could be koilet. The same thing also. This was something that was more than the world was koilet, and that's why it went over. So Chazal say, despite the fact that Mikdash and Mishkan are two separate entities, but Mikdash is Ikri Mishkan and Mishkan is Ikri Mikdash. They both are together. They have of each other of each other's qualities. They have a cash with each other. They are meant to one is meant to feed into the other. So the Nyani Mishkan led into Mikdash. Tveim of Sitaim, I once spoke. The Mishkan itself became a Mikdash. And therefore, despite the fact that each one has a certain havlata, each one has a certain prominence of its specific maila, they do share with each other's qualities, and that's why we see them as conjoined, as being together as one unit, the Mishkan and Mikdash, and that's why the Torah is makpid to call Mikdash Mishkan, Mishkan Mikdash. The tchuna of daiva hoise, the more than enough. That is shayach to the world of Mishkan. And that's why in Vayakel we talk about the quality of the daiva hoisev, that's Rabbi Ma'am, it's too much, because that's the hallmark of those of that type of inyan, of Mishkan. Over here, this is where we introduce Mikdash qualities to Mishkan. This is where we say, when you count out the bits and the pieces, they fit exactly. And again, we'll use Ramban's Teretz for the technical detail of it is V'hoisa, so the V'hoisa became insignificant. But at any rate, this is where what started as an accumulation of unbridled Ava, where people just dumped gold and silver and whatever it was, over here it became measured, weighed, quantified, and snapped in perfectly into what was needed. So in the transition, in a sense where we endowed Mikdash qualities to Mishkan, this is the place where Mikdash is called Mishkan Mefurish Torah. Like we said before, halachically it can't be used because it doesn't say anywhere that it's Mikdash. But Chazal, when they wanted to find a place where Mikdash is called Mishkan, this is a place that's called Mishkan. When it says over here that the eagle was Niskaper, Dafka over here, it's the Remez, that it's the Mishkan Eidus, is two things. On the one hand, the Beis HaMikdash is called Mishkan because it was a Mishkan for Chazal's Avonis, and therefore was destroyed twice, Mishkan, and so on. That means that even though the Mikdash is supposed to be permanent, but it can be dissembled and rebuilt again, it has some of that quality of when the Av is not there, the Mokum is not there, and then we can even the Beis HaMikdash could have a surge of a new Av to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Rebuilding it requires a renewal, which Lachor is not part of the hallmark of Mikdash, and yet it has that quality. That's why it's called Mishkan, that even the Beis HaMikdash can have it. Me'idach Gisa, in the transition from Mishkan to Mikdash, that's where you get also the Kapara, the Mishkan Ha'edus. You get the Kapara on Kalal Yisrael from Chet HaEgel, because the Chet HaEgel finds its kapara in the following way. Chet HaEgel, there were two inyanim, two chatoim that were associated with the Mishkan, that were unique. The Chet HaEgel and then the Mishkan was meant to be a kapara for it. And in the Mishkan itself, you had the Mises of Nadav Naviu, the Aaron. Both of them were inyanim where there was a surge of ruchnius that went outside its boundaries, and it was a kilkel, a terrible kilkel. In other words, in their wanting some sort of leader, some sort of avoda, whatever it was, they went past what was allowed. Like all the Rishonim saying, it wasn't really avoda zara, but it was something that was kind of, it was something that was usher mitzad its tzura. That yes, there's a moshe that's mechabek ha'isol kadosh baruch hu, but an eagle is of the problems of avoda zara, even though the intentions were different. The Nodav Naviyu, when they had their inyanim, so that was also something which it was because it wasn't checked, because it didn't fit into a framework of things. There was a kilkul. Those are inyanim that are kilkulim specifically to that type of inyan. And the Mishkan was and it was a edos that lemaisa it was neschapa. In other words, the migdash qualities that Mishkan also possesses had in itself that quality of being able to mechap on it. In other words, the measurement over here, the pekude, the fact that there was imposed on it all sorts of measurements and so on, that gave it its kviyas and so on. It's true about the Mishkan and Mikdash, obviously. The Mishkan and the Mikdash are the two primary vehicles for Avodas Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's also very true in terms of a person's life. A person's life is divided into Ne'urim, and the big part of his life is called Yimei Amida. I want to explain something. Ne'urim comes from a Lashon V'Sa'irus, which means awakening. It's libi air. A person, when he's young, there's a certain type of blossoming, a certain type of flaming, which is the hallmark of that age. People think that amida is negative. In other words, when we say that somebody plateaus, we usually mean it in a pejorative sense. What we mean to say is the person has stopped going, accelerating, has stopped going anew. It's steady. The truth is that Lashon is not at all pejorative. It has both sides of it. It's like, Yes Hashem Tehoira Oimedes La'ad. Amida means stable. Amida means lasting. Those terms are positive terms in that sense. It's both of them are opposite. What's the mile of one is the chisaron of one. What's the chisaron of one is the mile of one. Ne'urim has in itself his iris, and that's a sort of a shooting up and a flaming and an accelerating. But binyan ne'urim is stira. It doesn't last. The buildings that are just Ne'urim don't have any lasting qualities. The Yimei Amida are things that at this point it becomes, that metamorphosizes into something that fits the Kalim, or better said, the Kalim are built up to contain the Ruchnius, and then it becomes permanent. So initiation and permanence are two separate chunas. They have to come in two stages, and they need to work in a certain type of a cohesion, or else it's a churban. Every person is built like that. That there are years in his life that the focus of those years is Ne'urim. That's his avoda is with Na'arus. That the person is capable of sensing tremendous surges of Ruchnius, and those surges are take him to places that he was never before. That's the definition of a surge. It's beyond anything that was within his world. And that everything starts with that. Every Ruchnistic enterprise starts with that type of surge. The That's the Mishkan that a person has. And it can happen through various tkufas in a person's life. That's what Mishkan is. Mishkan is something that can happen in all the masos. It's something which, by its nature, may happen at different times. The main time is that the first time is at the beginning. But the fact that there's the ability for a person to surge ahead lies in the Mishkan property. But the Mishkan itself can never last. If it's not that it becomes Charev, Beis HaMikdash you have to destroy, because Beis HaMikdash Be'etzem is an edifice that's supposed to last. A Mishkan you don't destroy because it never was any place, really. It was in a person's dimion in a certain sense. It wasn't in this place. So just like a house has to be demolished, the camper, you just drive away. There's no, it's not demolishing it. You say, I didn't say I took it down, and it's not, it's in on Shabbos, something that's aimed to open and close and so on and so forth. There's no stira. It's a folding chair. It opens and closes. That's its mitzias. It's not permanent in any sense of it. It doesn't stay in any one place in any sense of it. When a person has a yurida from that matziv, a person is very broken, but it's wrong. It never was meant to be that way. It has to instead morph into a mikdash. A mikdash means there's a binyan there, and you build up a whole binyan to accompany that. It's something where a lot more attention is given to the weightiness of the binyan, the solidity of the binyan, in order to accompany what's inside it. In order for something to be permanent, it has to be able to stand, and then you can contain in it. So when you have that binyan, a person can have within it some of the regesh of the Mishkan. Just like we said before, that in order for the Mikdash to be something which is permanent, it needs a makom, but that makom has to be mufka from the rest of mekaymis. I want to apply it in a personal level. When a person, the ability to be in this world and to be kol kuli dovik in kedusha is something that's shayach to achad b'deres. That's not our dag. For us, when we do the mundane, we keep the halacha, but we're mundane. That's the way we are. If a person wants to recapture some of the hargoshes of kedusha that accompanied him in the Mishkan stage, he needs to create a place where you leave outside other things, and the place is a little bit sort of it's extraterritorial from the person's normal life. So lamashal, if a person davens in a base knesses, and the base of knesses is miyachid only for kedusha, doesn't talk dvarim achayim, then a person can feel it. So when the person walks into the base of knesses, this is not the world. This is a bubble inside the world. When a person is in a base medrash and he learns in a base medrash, that's the mile of davening in the shul and learning in a base medrash. If a person on a Shabbos table creates a certain circle where there are topics that are off limit on a Shabbos table, and it doesn't have a makom here. There's a circle. It's a little of a circle. The mikdash, which is the division and the hafkah of other inyanim, is crucial for that permanence. You can't have the permanent binyan of avas Hashem if there is no clear makom that's miyuchet fit. And there's no such thing as a makom. The fullness, 24 hours a day, is not miyuchet for kedusha, except for the one in all generations, kind of. That's not what shayach is. When we take a certain place and we mafkir it a little bit from our place, then we're able to endow it with inyanim of that and out of this world. And it's so... It's such a short-sighted approach. If a person makes up his mind that in the shul, even not during davening, but in the shul itself, he's not going to talk in Yanei Chayil. So the shul becomes a Makom Kaddish. And he's able to have all sorts of hargashas that he wouldn't have other places, other times. For persons, miyachid is Makom Limud, just for learning and so on. In that yichud, the person allows it to become permanently a place of ashpah. It's so amazing. People complain about they don't feel this anymore, they don't feel that anymore, this, that, and so on and so forth. Well, so we say, okay, if you want to permanently have a place that has these hagashas, you're going to have to make that makom a sort of non-makom. You're going to have to be mafkiyah from this world in order for it to have that feeling. True, the first time you felt overwhelmed in learning and davening and whatever it is, it came in the middle of whatever you were doing, in the middle of a person that was chayil and so on. But that's the beginning. That's the first stage of it. But if you want to make it a permanent feature, then that's the way to do it. In the pasuk, as we say it in Rosh Hashanah, in the davening of Musaf, that v'sachat v'loch chesed reich v'kimoisi loch bris oilam. I will be making a bris oilam with you. The bris oilam, there's the avos neurim, and there's the bris oilam. They are part of one process, but it's important to understand that it's a process with two parts that are separate in their focus. Each one comes for a different purpose. That if they don't merge together, each one falls apart. A person's neurim, as wonderful as they were, if they don't have the sight of being able to carry it into permanence, or a person's permanence but has never had the hisiris of kedusha, can't work. The mishkan without the mikdash, the mishkan without the mishkan don't work. The ava rabba without avas oilam dissipates. And Avas Olam is only as good as the Ava Rabba that lit in it. The permanence of Avas Olam is only fed by the fire of the Ava Rabba. If a person understands, if a person gives thought and seichel to merging those two kufis and understanding, and even in life, as a person progresses in as an adult, there are moments of Ava Rabbas. There are Yom Kippurs, there are weddings, there are a person's chasna, a person's his alos, different kufis, a person sees something and he's very inspired. That happens that also. There's the mikdash is a mishkan, the mishkan is a mikdash. It happens, it's not sliced so sharply with a knife. But a person needs to understand what is it to get out of it. If a person is nisorer very strongly by something, a fool thinks it's going to last like that. And a person who has given up doesn't do anything with it. Because he's tried a few times, he's been this earth a few times, nothing happened. Well, nothing's going to happen. You need to start building and say, what a regish that I was zochah to. How do I work it in so that it can sort of become part of my permanent mahalach? And one of those keys is that it's not enough what you're doing. It's enough, you need to give it its bubble quality. You need to give it its hafkah from chayil, because, like I said, for all mekaymus of kedusha, in order to be a makam of kedusha, it needs to be not a makam of chayil. The mikdash word is the dominant feature of the beis hamikdash. And if a person is a zeicha to take the mishkan and make it into a mikdash, to merge the two, and the person is able to take that special chesed neurim, that special avos neurim, that's so much part of a person's, the most elevated moments of a person. And the ikar of his avoda is, he's able to transition into a bris oilam, into something which is lasting and permanent and really in its kvias, it really became part of the person.
Is the Gemara about Nimshach versus Olam? Is the Gemara Shemin versus Beis Olam?
It's a Gemara in Shavuot Shabbos. Rashi, Rashi says the difference.